Radio.
I want to be a nation that is on the biblical principles and the values and the ethics that are found in Scripture.
Your personal economy.
Financial issues that you need to know.
Aligning morality with truth.
But I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
Now, here's your host, Dan Celia.
Welcome back, Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia. It's great to be here. And we sure appreciate all of you joining us. Maybe some of you just joining us now for the second hour. The first second hour in 2019. We're glad to be here. Hope you all had a restful, peaceful time off if you were off on Monday. Hope you had a nice long holiday. I know I enjoyed it. I got a lot of rest. I feel great. I don't know if it was the back-to-back long weekends or what, but I got a lot done. That always makes me feel good. And just had a chance to do nothing. And it was great. You know, man, I used to think this doing nothing wasn't all cracked up to... It wasn't cracked up to be what everybody said it was, but yeah, it's pretty good every once in a while. Anyway, it was a nice, relaxing time. I did have time to work, and I worked hard on our 9 for 19, probably the hardest and the toughest list I had to put together, because there were so many more options going into this year than there was in any other year that I can remember. I'm reasonably sure about that. So I had to narrow it down to 9 for 19. Our 9 for 19 list is coming out tomorrow. So if you're a partner, you're going to get an email alert with that 9 for 19. I'm going to ask you. No, you won't, but I'll ask anyway. I hope that you will read the details of that stock, because I want you to know what you're investing in. I want you to know what you're in. And it's important that you know what you're investing in. So I want you to read that and understand it. Anytime I use the word risk, added risk than there normally is just because you're investing, I put that in bold letters so you'll be able to find that quickly, because I want to point that out to you, that, hey, that this is the risk with this particular company. But watch that. Some of these things have very small, three of them. Some of the companies, three of them, not a lot. I didn't write a lot because you all know them. Good, solid companies. A lot of you already own them. That's great. But you can continue to add to some good, solid positions with some of these if you're able to, without getting too overweighted in any one sector. So I would hope that you'll check that out as we move forward into a year where the valuations right now are unbelievable in some of the stocks. The question will be and will remain, in all likelihood, is: are things going to get better or are they going to get worse? Right now, as we look about in the markets, we opened up with the Dow down about 265 points. It is now only down 200 points. So already 165 point swing. It's still on the downside, yes, but it was down 1.5%. It's now down 0.75%. So that's a pretty big swing. We'll see if that momentum on the upside can continue. We'll have to watch and see. U.S. manufacturers expanded to the slowest pace in 15 months. So U.S. manufacturing expanded. The key word there is expanded. To the lowest it has in 15 months. So the PMI slipped to 53.8 from 53.9. That's not a big deal, needless to say. Anything over 50 is expansion. Anything below 50 means that the sector in general is contracting. Okay? So this is over 50 by 3.8 points, 3.8 points, it is over 50. So just a month or so ago, it was at 55, but nonetheless, it is still in expansion mode. And that is very good news. Now, yes, the pace is slowing. One would have to believe that the pace is going to be slowing when we look at the automotive business alone, which certainly indicates that the pace is slowing. And that would be one of the reasons why we see that drop in manufacturing. So we'll see how it goes. But trade, tariffs, all of those things are certainly going to be a factor. I said this last week. I'll say it again this week. Last week was 2018. That's over with, done. But 2019 is just getting started. And if the president wants to really serve this economy well, he and the administrative people around him will have a priority. I would almost say a number one priority, if not very close to number one, one and a half priority about trade. I think that I'm hoping that they're not going to put all their eggs in one basket to the beginning of trade talks again over in Beijing, which will be starting up again next week. I hope that they're not just holding their breath and counting on that. I hope at the same time, I wish they were, maybe they are and we don't know about it, sending a delegation to the European Union. I wish they were sending a delegation to continue to talk to other Asia nations. So really look at the entire Pacific Rim, not just China. Also a delegation that is looking strictly at Eastern Europe, that they're looking at Eastern Europe very closely, and that we can come away, another delegation, obviously, to South America and Central America to continue to solidify deals that we have there, make them better. All that's got to happen together. We've got to be especially conscious of how we're impacting the ag sector, about how we're impacting our farmers and our agricultural industry. And that's why commodities play such a big part. We are grateful again this year to have our ag reporter, Craig Haugard, with us. And he's going to be here right now to give us an update on the ag commodities that are probably going to be a little bit more important this first quarter than they've been in a long time.
This is Craig Haugard with your Financial Issues Ag Update. Well, it's been kind of a strange, chopped up, interrupted sort of week in the markets, with a market on Monday and then no markets until they resumed at 8:30 Central Time, Wednesday, January 2nd. Now, corn closed slightly lower on Monday. Weekly export inspections came in at 36 million bushels, which was at the low end of trade expectations. Looking at South American news, I see that rains are expected to fall across Argentina beginning midweek, while Brazil is expecting pop-up showers throughout the remaining week. Now, in soybeans, in spite of some good news regarding positive talks over the past weekend between President Trump and the Chinese president, we saw beans being unable to hold on to positive gains on Monday, and in fact, they ended up closing slightly lower. The next scheduled talks between the U.S. and Chinese officials are set to take place on January 7th in China, and hopefully that'll provide a bullish spark that this market so desperately needs. Weekly export inspections were disappointing at 24.9 million bushels. In fact, we need to average 36.9 million bushels per week to hit the USDA's annual export projection for soybeans. Looking at the wheat market, if I were to describe it in boxing terms, I would say that the wheat market was hit by a right uppercut followed by a left hook on Monday. Wheat took a beating as weekly export inspections came in at 13.8 million bushels, or slightly more than half of what we need to average on a weekly basis to achieve the USDA's annual export projections. The poor export inspections were coupled with the Comprehensive and Progressive Agreement for Trans-Pacific Partnership, or CPTPP, going into effect. And that combination had wheat futures under a great deal of pressure on Monday. Cotton had a marginally better day Monday, with March futures closing up a point to settle at 72.20. In livestock, we had a mixed session on Monday, with cattle weak and hogs stronger. February live cattle were 30 cents lower, while January feeder cattle were down 22.5 cents for the day. Lean hogs had a stronger day, with February lean hog futures up 32.5 cents for the session. And Class 3 milk futures had a little bit of a setback on Monday, with January futures closing 10.
The AFA Journal is the monthly magazine of the American Family Association.
The mission of the AFA Journal is to motivate people to get involved in issues around their community and around their state and nation.
We want people to go out and actually do something, to become involved in their community. People who read the journal take the magazine, they hand it to friends, they hand it to neighbors, they hand it to people at work.
If you'd like to get the AFA Journal, simply go to afajournal.org. You can sign up for a one-year free subscription.
My grandfather taught me that you should always leave a place better than you found it. That it's important to invest in the lives of your children and grandchildren, leaving them with a godly legacy they can build on. That's why I decided to set up a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation. I know that my gift will support a ministry that honors the biblical principles I hold dear, and it's a way to invest in the future of our country. The AFA Foundation also arranged for me to have a steady fixed income, so I don't have to worry in the midst of changing times.
Call the AFA Foundation today to find out how you can set up a charitable gift annuity. Just call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Would you consider taking charge of your financial stewardship while being biblically responsible with God's money? Consider partnering with Financial Issues. For a contribution of $85 a year, you'll get Dan's buy list every Monday morning. Receive our regular email alerts and have access to Dan's asset allocation models. You can ask questions of Dan as part of his market and economic conference call every month. But best of all, you'll be supporting the Ministry of Financial Issues. Would you become a partner today? You won't regret it. Go to financialissues.org. That's financialissues.org.
Such a peace and joy, knowing that God is answering our prayers, bringing healing and providing for our needs.
The opening statement in the Constitution of the United States says this, that we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. I don't know what part of that we don't get anymore. That was written by men who cared about this country deeply.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia.
Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call up, you're welcome to do it. 844-707-5533. And folks, I want to just tell all of you, I said this in the first hour, but we met our goal on the 31st, in an amazing month, an amazing day on the 31st, an amazing month, best month we've ever had. So I just want to thank all of you from the bottom of my heart. You guys are awesome, and I'm so grateful for what you have done for us. So we had a goal of a certain amount of money. I'm going to tell you that later once I know all the numbers, which I don't know. I do know that number, but I'll wait so I can tell you how far over we go. Probably not going to know that really until Monday, because a lot of people mail checks, I'm sure, on the 31st. We're not going to get those till, you know, some of those till Monday or Tuesday of next week. So we'll watch that closely, and I'll let you know. We had some money that God had already raised up that we started out with. We're coming very, very close to finishing. As a matter of fact, the segment of the studio that is Financial Issues is finished, with the exception of some of the lighting, and we're working on that. So we might be able to have some temporary lighting that we can get in there and get started. That sure would be nice. But we'll see when that'll be. But I think it's going to be within the next couple of weeks. And we're looking forward to that. But boy, it has really come up, shaped up nice. I wish all of you could come visit. Hopefully you'll get a chance if you're ever passing through this way. But we're real excited about how God is going to use that for the ministry. So we're very excited about that. 844-707-5533. Let me go to Jesse. Jesse's calling us from Texas. Hey, Jesse.
Good morning, sir. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a little confused. when we're talking about the Israeli funds or some of the other funds, I had invested in a Israeli convenience store stock, and when I got my dividends, it came back in with a 28% additional tax. And it's not just them. I invested in a tanker stock in the Caribbean, and it came back with a 28% tax on top of my regular tax rate. Can you explain what I didn't understand about that?
So whenever you invest in international companies, you've got to pay a tax on the international gains, the gains that you acquired, whether it be from dividends or from the sale of a company, one way or another, a sale of a company being, assuming you had gains when you sold it. So that is taxed at a different rate. So if you, which you probably haven't noticed yet, but when you file your tax return, one of the questions that either your accountant will ask, or if you do it yourself, were any of your gains from gains of companies outside the United States? In your case, and you'll get your when you get your brokerage account, that will all be broken down. So it's broken down what that number is, and that's got to get filed in that box because it's taxed at a different rate.
Okay, so it's not double taxed. It's taxed at that rate.
No. Right. It's not double tax. It's not in addition to tax. It is the tax that you have to pay that's paid at an international rate.
Okay. Well, that's what I was trying to figure out, because I got out of it because of that, that if it's that, I'm at a 20% rate, and 28% was just more, and I was afraid it was a double tax.
Yeah, no, I mean, and your accountant, or unless you do your taxes yourself, if you do them yourself and you use like a TurboTax, it'll explain that to you on TurboTax. You click on that little video and you can, they explain it to you. Or your accountant can.
My accountant.
All right, thanks, Jesse.
Thank you.
Yeah, they'll explain that and exactly what that means. Thank you, Jesse. I sure appreciate it. Folks, that reminds me of some, by the way, our phone lines are open, 844-707-5533. 844-707-5533. Now, you know how I feel about taxes, right? In our investments. Far better to get a gain, far better to get a good return, and to pay a little more tax than not to get anything. And we've got at some point in time, we should always just be at a place where we accept that. Now, I used to tell people, I've told this story many, many times. So for the 22 years that I had a trust company, I'm managing hundreds of millions of dollars, and people would come to me and say, hey, we want you to manage our trust or manage our business, whatever it was. And there I was dealing mostly with high net worth people who are extremely tax conscious, far more tax conscious than maybe the average Joe is. So whenever they came and they sat down with me before we got too deep into the conversation, as they came to me because someone referred them and they wanted us to manage their money, I always said, look, there's two things you need to know. One of those things was that if you don't want to pay tax, you don't want to use us. I'm not the guy to be with, because you will pay tax. And I did have some people say, oh, I'm glad you cleared that up early and thank you for that. And, I'm very tax conscious. We don't want to pay any tax. So we'll go to somebody that's managing for taxes, which I wouldn't do and didn't do. But there were a lot of people saying, that's fine. Once I explained my rationale was, I'm trying to make money. I want you to make money. I want your money to work for you. So if you've got a problem making 70% on your money as opposed to making 100% on your money, if 70% is not enough, or if you got a problem in the sense that you've made 80 and you're only getting 50 because you're paying some taxes, whether they be international taxes or otherwise, and a lot of these people, it was pretty significant. It was a lot more than 20% or a lot more than 30%. Sometimes it was 45%. 50%. So it had a dramatic impact, and they didn't want to do it. So I got that. I understood it. I don't believe in that. So I think, look, profit is profit, it's profit, and I think you ought to take it when you can take it and when you can get it. I think that whenever you sell something and you look at this something and you say, you know what? For 15 years, this something has been making me money quarter after quarter after quarter after quarter of paying me dividends, thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. Every year, it has been, you know, when I look at the average for 15 years, it's been up, you know, 13% on average every year. It's made a lot of money. I want to move on. It's treated me well. You know, yes, I've paid a lot of taxes, but I did very, very, very well in having that. And so I understand that we don't want to give Caesar his due. Nobody does. I get that. But in fact, I would not let you, I wouldn't want you to prevent yourself from having a potentially good investment and potentially maybe a very good investment, better than some of the others you have, because of a higher tax rate or taxes that you would have to pay or whatever it might be. So some of you are very much at a place where you're high net worth people, that you are managing for taxes. You want to make some money. You want to keep rolling it over. You want to keep it in there. You don't want to have to pay that big tax bill. I get that. I don't really get it. I'm just saying I do. But I get that. If that's how you, you know, and that's how you operate, that's fine. But I'd rather have 50% of the money in my pocket as opposed to leaving it indefinitely until finally the 50% is all gone and I've had my money tied up for 12 years. Now I got nothing. I've lost money. You know, I don't understand that mentality either. So anyway, we've always got to think about that whenever we are taking profits or we're taking dividends and we're dealing with some of the taxes. At some point in time, we've got to understand that. We've got to understand, yes, we're taking the taxes. So we're paying the taxes. We get it. We know that. But we're also making some money, and that's a good thing. 844-707-5533. 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call up, you're welcome to do that. 844-707-5533. Oil prices are going to be continue to be a factor, no doubt about it, as we go through the rest of, I would say, the rest of this year. I'm going to talk a little bit more about it in great detail on our conference call on a week from tomorrow, the first one of the year. But look, when we look at oil prices right now, and we look at West Texas Intermediate, it, by all accounts, it would appear as though it's going to continue to get beaten up a little bit. We've got a global glut in supply, and now we are seeing diminishing demand. So when we see things coming out of China on poor manufacturing factory orders, trade numbers, and China making a commitment for 2019 to prop up their monetary system, when we see those things, we know we're going to be, we know the industry, the oil industry, is going to be facing demand that is going to be lower. So oil was down about 1.1% when I started the program this morning. It's up 1.5% right now. That's good. But we're still only, when you look at it, at 46.09. We continue to see the national average of gasoline continuing to drop everywhere in the country except for here, unfortunately. But we continue to see that national average drop. And right now, we look at the national average is $2.25. $2.25. And it's down a little bit from yesterday. A week ago, it was $2.31. A year ago, it was $2.48. So we're at $2.25 a gallon on average and likely.
Hugs at the arrival gate.
Hey, I missed you so much.
Seeing your best bud for the first time in a long time. Family and friends around the table. At Lincoln, we know the holidays are filled with moments like these. When we realize that the greatest wish of all is one that brings us together. In that spirit, we invite you into our home during the Lincoln Wishlist event. But not coincidentally, we're making wishes come true with exceptional offers on the Lincoln family of luxury vehicles. The Lincoln Continental, the MKZ, the MKC, the new Nautilus, and the iconic Navigator. The Lincoln Wishlist event. Because wishes really do come true at your Lincoln dealer.
I can't get my computer to work.
Let me help you with that.
How'd you do that?
I just got techie with Geeks On Site.
Our geeks literally come on site. No need to stop what you're doing or block off time. We come to your home, office, or wherever you are. And we don't just fix whatever computer issues you might be having. We explain and teach you along the way so you can feel empowered and then help others at home or in your office. Better yet, don't have time for tech support to come to you? Let us remote into your desktop or laptop, and one of our geeks will instantly walk you through. Call 1-800-584-9039, and we will help you instantly. We offer affordable prices on our remote services and IT support. You and those in your office will never have to wait hours to have your technical questions answered. Get your free computer diagnosis today with your very own geek. Call 1-800-584-9039. That's 1-800-584-9039. And get started now.
Time changes everything. For me, becoming a single father of two young kids, it changed my ability to use my timeshare. The frustration of not being able to use it was compounded by annual maintenance fees that nearly tripled over a three-year period. I was desperate to get out. After searching online for sell my timeshare or get out of my timeshare, it just looked like one scam after another. I needed a real, permanent, and legitimate way to get out of this for good. I'm Brandon Reed, the founder of Timeshare Exit Team. We will get you out of the timeshare you can't use or can't afford anymore. We get people out safely, legally, and permanently. We are more successful because we have more solutions. Schedule a free consultation to review your ownership situation and find the best strategy for you. If we can't get you out, we will give you a full refund. Call Timeshare Exit Team today.
Call 800-929-8112. That's 800-929-8112. That's 800-929-8112.
Call Timeshare Exit Team today.
God's way. Financial Issues. I'm Dan Seely, 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call, of course, oil stocks continue to get beaten up. Just amazing. We continue to see this slide. Somebody just told me on YouTube, there's $1.81 in Missouri somewhere. Well, that is amazing. $1.81. You know, the national average, as I mentioned, $2.25 a gallon today. Compared to about $2 and I forget what I said, 48 a year ago. So this has been a huge boost to the economy, continues to be so. But, you know, we need trade talks, and that should be our number one priority of the administration. We could solve a lot of issues and concerns, one being oil, financial sector, and other issues. We could find a whole lot of concerns get put to rest if we can get a trade deal with China, the Eurozone, Pacific Rim, Eastern Europe as well, South America, Central America. We start getting these trade deals put together, and that should be the number one priority for the rest of for the first quarter. Wouldn't it be nice to be at the end of March saying trade deals all done, all in place? If The Democrats don't like them. They can override them. But we're in good shape. Everything's in place and everything is good. So we'll see. We'll see if that's how it goes. It's not likely to go that way. But certainly that would be a huge benefit, and I hope that happens. 844-707-5533. Let me go to Tina. Tina's calling us from Texas. Hey, Tina.
Hi, good morning. Before I ask my question, I just want to let you know that my stock knowledge is limited, and I'm praying that God will open up my understanding this year as I get more into understanding my finances. But I will, I'm eligible for retirement in 2 years, and I'm under the teacher retirement system. And based on the calculations that I've seen, I would have about between $3,800 and $4,000 a month. And my question is, I have $100,000 in my savings account, and I did have a family member to help me get into some stocks, but they're no longer able to do it. And I have about $12,000 in some stocks at Schwab and an IRA there. And I have about $35,000 in my 403B from work. So my question is, what would be the best way to handle my savings? Is long-term care important, and do I need a financial planner?
So the 35, your 403B, do they match at all?
They do a small percentage based on attendance. But in that, I forgot to tell you, in that particular match plan, in addition to the 35, there it's about $10,000 in the match plan from my school.
Okay, so I would like to make, first of all, I would tell you to make sure that you're fully participating in what the match is. It sounds like you might be. But yeah, if their match ends up being 5% of your salary, I would make sure that you're contributing up to 5% of your wages to be able to fully take advantage of the match. That's number one. Secondly, I would tell you, I can't speak too much to the $12,000 you have in stocks. I don't know, you know, what they are or where they are, but I would certainly tell you about your savings that I would not probably be too anxious to do anything with your savings. So you've got $100,000 in savings. That's way too much to have in savings. But right, at the same time, I don't think we are in an environment that I would want you to race to get into the market with your savings. I would rather see your savings be distributed at this point to, you know, have a couple of CDs. Christian Community Credit Union is a great place to go. You get a 4% CD for just a tiny bit of it, unfortunately, but nonetheless, 4% is 4%. I would look at their other CDs. They're up to 2-year CD. So you might want to put some of that money, let's say $40,000, in a 1-year CD, and $40,000 of it in a 2-year CD, just so you can get a little bit of a higher interest and continue to preserve and protect the principal. Now, once you retire, you're no longer working, you're receiving your pension, then I would want you to consider beginning to build an income portfolio. Now, if you were to say, well, you know what, say $3,900 a month that I'm getting, if that is perfectly good, I don't need any more money, I'm fine with that, I even have a little left over, I would still recommend that you would invest 50% then into an income portfolio, generating income for you throughout the year. The other 40%, I would probably want to see you invest in individual stocks or mutual funds that are biblically responsible, of course, that are going to be for growth of that portfolio. And I think that would be important, but I don't know.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, are you talking about like a targeted retirement fund? I heard something about that. Is that what you mean by an income portfolio?
No, no, it is not. Oh. What I mean is that you would have an investment account.
Mm-hmm.
That investment account would be, let's just say, maybe you have a broker. Maybe you're doing it at Charles Schwab or TD Ameritrade or Fidelity or one of those. And it would be made up of stocks that would produce dividends throughout the year. And those dividends you would receive. In other words, they would come to you. You might not need them, but you would they would come to you, and you would just, what you don't need, you give away, you put in your savings account, build that up a little bit more. I mean, you know, those kinds of things. But you would be receiving income from the dividends of the stocks that you own in that investment account. The other, you know, 40% or so of that investment account would have stocks or mutual funds that are biblically responsible, so Timothy, basically. They would have stocks that are designed more to grow. So these are good, solid companies, but the you're investing in those because you would like to have more money in 10 years than you have when you invest in those. You're looking at those for growth. These are companies that are going to, their stock value is going to go up over the years. And you would have some of that in those kinds of things. And that then that mix would be a really good portfolio for you. You could do it yourself if you were to email pat@financialissues.org. She'll give you a name of somebody. I hate to say it, but I really only have one person that I feel confident enough to endorse that's going to do the right thing by you. And I don't, you know, they're sold out to be biblically responsible. Your account's going to honor God, and they're advisors that you would have for the rest of your life that could help you and give you information and do those things that I just mentioned, to do those things for you in a way that I would trust them to do. But you could, that would be one thing you could do. I can put you on hold, and Darlene can give you that person's information. But I don't, okay. It's not somebody that I just give out over the air. I don't do that. But anyway, that would be an option if you think, I can't do this. I don't want to be bothered for one reason or another. I don't feel comfortable enough and all those things. I don't want to have the, I don't have the time to get comfortable, and I'd rather not do it. I'd rather somebody else do it. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. I think that's, you know, a fine thing, but you need to have somebody that you can trust to do the right thing, by you with that money.
Okay, and the long-term care?
Long-term care is a great thing, Tina. It's a great product if you're in good health and you were to get a plan. It's fine, but keep in mind, it's going to go up. Get something that you can get a return back from if you don't use it. Make sure that it's something that is covering any care at home that you might need. So if you fell and you had a car accident, you broke both your legs, I don't know, and you were laid up for a long time, somebody that it would pay for somebody coming in to take care of you for that period of time, that it's going to take care of home care. And you have to make sure that it has an inflation protected rider, because though a nursing home today, if you're protecting against that, might cost in your area $210 a day, 20 years, 25 years from now, it's going to be a whole lot more than that. And you want to make sure that there's inflation covering that. It is very expensive insurance. And that's why I say you get it about at your age while you're in good health. That definitely makes it lower. But you also have to look at your money and say, can I generate enough money for my income to...
I was definitely a skeptic at, joining Samaritan Ministries because I didn't understand it. I was used to the traditional system, so I was afraid.
I thought, what if this doesn't work? I mean, we're going to give up this whole concept of insurance, and we're going to trust God and His people? And I was like, yeah, well, of course.
What we pay every month is about 30% of what we were paying in insurance. And what we get back is so much more, financially, of course, but spiritually and with the care of the community, you can't touch it.
We, as a body of believers, are living out New Testament Christianity. This idea that Samaritan has adopted from the book of Acts should permeate all parts of our lives, not just health sharing.
You owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588.
Why not bank with a trusted partner that shares your values and beliefs? Christian Community Credit Union. Your money building God's kingdom.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call up, our lines are open. In the meantime, let me go to Jamie. Jamie's calling us from Arkansas. Hey, Jamie.
Yes. Yes, Dan. Are you there?
Good morning.
Good morning. I was calling you about the Ford ticker symbols that I believe the call scanner had given you. And I own all four of them, and I was wondering which one would be the best to dollar cost average down on.
So and, I would say
one for each sector, I guess, whatever, because one's IT and then the other one's materials.
Yeah, so I would say on the IT side, IT36, if you are, if you're in it for the long term and you want a dollar cost average on that one, I would say it'd be perfectly okay to do it, but I would say this. I don't believe that 2019, for the sector, not the whole IT sector, but for the work that that particular company does, is going to do good. I don't think it's going to be necessarily a good year for that particular company. So not I shouldn't say the company, but I should say for the kind of things that they supply, make, and manufacture. So, but I like the company. I feel good about the company. If you're in it for the long term, you own it, I wouldn't have a problem with you a dollar cost averaging down with it. IT42, definitely dollar cost average down in that one. If you don't do the other IT one, that's fine. But I would definitely do IT 4042. So I'd want you to definitely dollar cost average down in that one. As far as MA35, yes. And MA36, yes. Two good foundational stocks. The MA35 is not listed as a foundational stock like MA36 is, but could be, maybe, you know, I don't know. I thought maybe this year, maybe not till the end of this year. But great, great company. Great. I feel very, very good about it. And yes, I would dollar cost average in both of those down.
Okay. Since you gave me that guidance, I guess whatever. I'm kind of limited in how much I will be dollar cost averaging down. And based on the information that you give me, what sector do you see doing the best in the next 8 to 10 years, I guess? Or would it be IT, or would it be MA, or would it even be some other sector? Because I do own some energy. I own E53 and E44, and I thought about those, but I'm kind of leery a little bit right now on those, I guess, or whatever. But I would like to know your thoughts on that, I guess.
Yeah, so I would say for the next 10 years, it's going to be IT. I mean, okay. I really like the material stocks. I'll tell you this much. In the next 2 years, I wouldn't be surprised to see material stocks doing better than the IT stocks in the short term. But we shouldn't be thinking about that. We should be worried about the long term. So I think in the long term, over the next 10 or 12 years, it's likely going to be those IT stocks.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much, Dan.
All right, Jamie. I sure appreciate it. Thank you for your partnership. 844-707-5533. Let me go to George. George calling us from Ohio. Hey, George.
Dan, Happy New Year. I hope you have a safe and healthy one, you and your family. The question I had was, there was a segment on the NBC Nightly News, and I have some Cummins stock. They make the diesel engines. I know they make them for Dodge.
And they
had the vice president, a lady, and she was saying how the Trump tariffs are hurting their bottom dollar, and there's no foundries in the United States that even makes an engine block. All their engine blocks are imported from China. And I just wonder, you know, is it a stock that I should buy more of, sell, or I just...
I wouldn't sell it.
Okay.
Cummins is a stock that I watch. It's not on my list because they're not biblically responsible. Okay. But... I don't think that the industry in general is going to be great, at least in the first three quarters of this year.
Okay.
I think we might start seeing some real recovery. Now, anything could happen with trade and tariffs that could turn that around. But I mean, if you own the stock and you like it and you want to keep it, I wouldn't have a problem with you doing that. It's a strong company. They've got pretty good market share. It's a great product. So yeah, okay. I would be okay with it.
Okay, my son,
I can't recommend it. It's not biblically responsible, so I don't own it. But and I don't track it real close. But anyway, yeah.
And silver, my son keeps telling my wife and I, we're both retired, to buy. Take some of our assets and put it in silver as a hedge against, you know, a big downfall in the economy. Is that? I know it's $15 or so an ounce. Is that something you would consider us doing?
Well, I would say the economy dropped pretty good in 2008, and it went down to $13 an ounce.
Okay.
So I just don't believe that silver and gold are, if the economy drops because of hyperinflation, the Jimmy Carter type years,
right,
then yes, we're probably going to start seeing some good numbers coming out of silver and gold. but you got to sell it if you want to make some money, because it's probably going to be a flash in the pan, and you've got to be ready to move pretty quickly on it, unlike a stock that you can sell at a click of a mouse. So, and I wouldn't own any precious metals unless you physically own it, unless you have it in your possession. So I like silver better, and I like gold, if that helps, because okay. I think silver's got a much more of an industrial usage, where gold doesn't, and I like that about silver.
Okay. Well, you have a great new year, and thanks for everything you do, Dan. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you. I sure appreciate the call, George. Thanks. 844-707-5533. We're coming up on a break. Before we go, we've got two lines open. So we're going to go right back to phones. I want to remind all of you folks, as we kick off the new year, I got a great way for you to do it. And that is to check out preborn.org. You know, that's a ministry that we decided some years ago. It was providential. Us Financial Issues coming together with Preborn was about as providential as anything that we have done here. And I got to tell you, when I was first approached and to look into it, my initial reaction was, you know, I don't know. You know, I mean, you know, we're a ministry that's focused on, you know, a lot of finances and economy and those kinds of things. Although it was a ministry, Preborn, that I was very, very passionate about. And believed in. Anyway, one thing led to another. My wife and I, we went out to Chicago. We went to some of their clinics. We started this whole vetting process and all that kind of stuff. We got through that, and we just felt like this is something we've got to do. We just felt like that the Lord has raised up this incredible megaphone of Financial Issues, and what a great way for us to give back by using this megaphone to save the lives of babies. And we have saved, the Financial Issues family has saved tens of thousands of babies over the years, tens of thousands. It's just been an amazing partnership. And we're asking that you would pray about this year, if you haven't done it yet. I don't even need you to pray about it, because if you've done it once, you're going to do it again. I can almost guarantee it. But if you haven't, that you would pray about maybe just giving $140. It sponsors 5 ultrasounds. Those ultrasounds will be the difference between life and somebody choosing an abortion oftentimes. Those ultrasounds, more than 80% of the time, for a young lady that is contemplating and ready to make that appointment for an abortion, more than 80% of the time, she will change her mind and choose life. Not only that, Dan Steiner, the president, shared with us on the air last month that over 4,200 young ladies that not only chose life, but they also chose an eternal life for themselves by accepting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Can you imagine? So when Preborn gives a center that they're working with an ultrasound machine, that center has costs that go along with that. They have to have an RN on duty and all those kinds of things. And that's why we ask for that $140 to help that center support the ultrasound machine. But when they give it, they say, hey, look, we'll give it to you, but you've got to agree to our discipleship program. And these young ladies, we want them to go through a course and bring the husband in, bring the father in when they can. And it is an amazing ministry, and I hope you'll check it out. You can dial #250 right now, #250, and you can give that $140. The keyword is baby. They're going to ask you when you dial #250. Keyword is baby. I hope you'll pray about that and do it this year. If you've got to leave us, I hope you have a wonderful day. God bless. We'll be back.
Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk, online at biztalkradio.com.